Would you join me in the book of Revelation tonight? Revelation chapter 21, and we'd like to say a few things about this wall, the wall. I used to be intrigued by certain science fiction stories that the spaceship was covered with an invisible force field, and they would shoot at that spaceship and the force field would stop, and it just made that spaceship impregnable. Well, as I read down through here, that analogy came how that fits the church. That it is invisible, it is yet strong, it is thick and high, and nothing can get to the church because of Christ's blood and righteousness. Now the world may try, and the devils may try, but they cannot get through this wall. This wall is the person of Christ and his salvation. And we're going to look at some verses in the scripture about this. In Revelation chapter 21, we're going to go through parts of six verses tonight, maybe, that deal with this wall. Revelation 21, verse 12, the scripture shares this. The church, this city, had a great and high, had a wall great and high. Had 12 gates, at the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. A wall great and high. And then if you look at verse 14, it says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lord. And verse 17, it says, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And in verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And then verse 19 and 20, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And then it enumerates several there, and also in verse 20. And we're not going to spend our time on those stones that are mentioned there. We may in the future, but we do want to look at this, that the foundations of the city were garnished, or they are adorned, or there's an ornament about them, this garnishment. All right, going up to verse 12, as we think about this, the wall of the city, the protection for those in the church and those only depending on Christ's blood and righteousness. This wall is for protection. It is invisible. It is around the church, but it is yet invisible. It is spiritual. It is of God. It's from God. It's by God. And it's his total protection for his church. There is no area. Now, I've shared this, but I used to hear, and I don't hear it among any grace preachers. I've never heard this among grace preachers, that, it mentions the uniform or the armor that God gives his people. And you have to be careful that you don't turn your back to the devil because that's vulnerable. Well, we never find that in the Bible anywhere, that any part of any of God's people are vulnerable, because if it is uncovered, that's where Christ stands. And since we have the whole armor of God, that's where Christ stands. That's where Christ covers. So if there's anything that is unprotected, it's because of Christ's insufficiency at the cross. Now, that's ludicrous. His salvation is total sufficient. His work on the cross, his ministry on the cross, his death on the cross was totally sufficient. So there is nothing that is imperfect. There are no chinks in the armor. There's no places where anything can get through. It is total protection that God has given his people, and it's called a wall that's great and a wall that is high, a wall that is massive. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. Let's look at a verse there that the Lord Jesus, and there's a song that we sing from time to time that brings this subject up that's mentioned here in the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 2. And there, here we have that the Lord himself is a wall of fire round about. He is our protection. Our security is dependent upon him. It's not by our efforts, but our security is dependent upon him. He truly is the force that protects us from all enemies. He took them on. There may be words said, but he's the protection. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He is their protection. He is their wall, exceedingly high, exceedingly massive. And here in the book of Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 5, the scriptures share this: "For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her." The protection that this verse of scripture shares with us in these words: he, the Lord, is as a wall of fire around the church. And that's representative here in the book of Revelation chapter 21. There's no place that there is any opening to the enemy. Now, it does mention that there are 12 gates, but we're going to find out as we go through there that those 12 gates are representative of that there is nothing that prevents the access of people when they trust Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me can go right through the gate. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I will not prevent. And one of the things that we find with regard to the six cities of refuge, that it was the responsibility of the elders to keep every passageway open. These 12 gates, three on each direction, represent to us, they represent that the gospel is to all, every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. There's no direction of the compass that is prevented. The Jews thought it only was to the east. Only to the east. Only to the east. That's where we are. That's where the Jews are. But some of them found out and even preached to the north, to the south, and to the west. And the gospel was to them too. The gospel, there's nothing prevents the chiefest of sinners from entering in when God, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, applies their gospel and their salvation to them. Nothing prevents the chiefest of sinners from entering in. All right, so this wall, it's great and high, it's massive, and it is the Lord God Almighty surrounding his people around the church. Turn with me as we head back to the book of let's back up just a little bit. The book of Isaiah, would you? Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. The best commentary on the book of Revelation is the Bible. It has a lot to say about this wall and what it is and how it is promoted. And it truly is the Lord, his glory, his salvation. Even as it's mentioned here in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 1, it shares with us here this wall, this great massive wall that surrounds the church is spoken of throughout the Old Testament, typified in the walls around the cities in Israel. And here we have it applied to the city, the church of the living God, this church. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1, it says, "And in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bulwarks." Now, to Jerusalem, which is below, Jerusalem, which sits there, it had a stone wall around. It was massive, and it was pretty high. And it took the Romans a long time to finally breach those walls in AD 70. It was strong. But the wall that God's talking about is not a physical wall. And this wall is impregnable. It cannot be overcome. It doesn't matter how high they throw the dirt up against it. No one that's in the church will ever be taken out. Here, as it says, in that day, we have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. It's His deliverance. And then, if you go just a little further in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 60, again, this wall is mentioned. The walls of salvation are mentioned, and that's truly what we find here, is it's God's salvation. Nothing protects the people of God like the grace of God, the glory of God, the sovereignty of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. All of His characteristics and attributes are truly the protection, this wall for the church. Summed up in this word, His salvation. God gives Himself when He saves His people. He gives us the privilege, opens our heart and settles Him down inside of us in a miraculous way. All right, Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 18, the scripture says, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. Now, that sounds pretty good, but this is spiritual. We've read that in Isaiah chapter 11. That lion's going to lay down. That bear will lay down. No more violence, no more wasting, no more destruction within thy borders, but they shall call thy wall salvation and thy gates praise. The wall of this city is God's salvation in every characteristic and attribute. It's just not a single entity. When God saves, He saves by Himself and all of Himself. That wall is all of God's self on the behalf of His people. And then Jonah said there, salvation is of the Lord. This great salvation is the salvation that God gives. It is great, it is high, it is protective. The best protection for the church is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called on, and our teacher there is brought up, there is much to be said in the book of Corinthians, and one of the issues that they seem to have had is they just accepted anybody in. And Paul says, boy, you have to be careful here. You have to be careful. Now, people have said to me, here, I'd like to be baptized. You know what I've told them? Just sit and listen. Just sit and listen. Well, I'd like to be a member of your church. Just sit and listen. Just sit and listen. I'm not overly excited about having people become members. God makes people members. God adds. Adds by salvation, adds by interest in being in a body. It's not me, it's God. And when God does it, it's happy. It's pleasing. And nobody can say, well, the preacher talked me into joining that church. Lord willing, they'll never hear that out of me. That's not my business. My business is to have people sit and listen and let God move. That's His business. And He will do it to whom He will do it to. And whom He won't do it to, they'll just sit and listen or leave. One. And that's just the way it is. All right. There in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 14, it said that the wall of the city had 12 foundations, which are the 12 apostles. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says this. Well, let's just turn over there and read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Brother Mike has just gone over this in his study. But this is so true. How can 12 be equal to 1? How can 12 foundations be equal to 1 foundation? Well, let's read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Now, I call this the law of Christ. I wrote that in my Bible. You want a law? Here's the law of Christ. Acts 4:12 is another law of Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the law of Christ. Here's another one. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other secure foundation. There's no foundation for the church but Christ. How do we get 12 to be one? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Every one of those disciples and the 12, and we're going to have to exclude one and add the other one to get the 12. Judas didn't know this. Judas didn't believe this. Judas didn't have this. He did not know this confession of faith in Matthew chapter 16. And I want to begin reading with verse 15. Matthew 16 and verse 15. How can 12 be one? Every one of those 12 apostles, when it was once completed, and then Paul was added to it, but we also find there was an apostle Barnabas. But there was 12 that the Lord chose, and one of them was the devil, and on Acts chapter 1, that one was taken care of. It was prophesied in the book of the Psalms, one is going to have someone else take his place. And we find out in Acts chapter 1 that that was done. There was another man added. Well, someone came to me and says, well, his name is never again mentioned in the book of Acts. You'll find a whole bunch of people who were not mentioned that were of the disciples, not mentioned, but they were called the 12. And I'm just going to be foolish enough to believe that when it meant 12, it also included Matthias because he was selected by the Lord to fulfill the position of Judas. All right. Notice here in Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 15, the scriptures share this. Matthew 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, every one of those disciples confessed that confession. 12 could equal one. Every one of them said, the foundation is Jesus Christ. That was their confession. That was their gospel. That was their message. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel. And they preached it and declared it, and 12 were one. We are only going to preach one foundation. But everybody that has ever been called on to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will declare the same thing. There is no other foundation but Christ. And every member of this body will declare exactly the same thing. So 12 apostles equals one declaration of the foundation. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal it unto thee. In other words, you didn't get this on your own. You didn't come to this conclusion on your own. This is what God gave you. But my Father which is in heaven, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church on this confession. The foundation is Christ. The confession, the apostles. The church is built on this foundation, this confession, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it is only granted to have that in our heart by God the Father. Nothing else will ever reveal that truth to us, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Going back again to the book of Isaiah chapter 28, when we talk about the foundations of this, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, which are the 12 apostles. They had one confession, one gospel. It's interesting that they went out two by two. They went out with 70. You know what? They all preached exactly the same message. And it wasn't because they were dummies, and it wasn't because that's what they got somewhere. It's because that's what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. There is one gospel. There is one Christ. There is one Lord. One faith. One baptism. There is only one. There is one way. It's a narrow way. That's what the Lord said. And this is the confession of the apostles, and this is that Christ is the foundation. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, we find here that it is prophesied, mentioned in the Old Testament, the promise of God Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be ashamed or make haste." This foundation stone, this cornerstone, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a tried stone for the foundation of the world. Didn't enter into the heart of man to do this. It entered into the heart of God to do this on the behalf of man. A precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. This is a sure foundation. And the wall is a sure wall. It is impregnable. It is eternal. It lasts forever. It is the Word of God as it is declared, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What will prevent the church of the living God from falling? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in every characteristic and every attribute of God as it's declared in there. And then on this subject of the foundations, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. What a statement. Now, if I can just get out of my mind that this is not a real wall. This is a, for lack of better words, this is a force field. Invisible. Around everyone and around the church as a whole. God protects every individual believer. And God protects His church. You know why? He gave, shed His blood for it. It is significant. It is not just a little bitty thing. It is significant. Paul wrote to the, or left this word with the Ephesian elders to feed the church of God, which God had given, shed His blood for. This is so valuable. All right, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says here, Ephesians 2:20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." Verse 19, "Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." Walk around the city, you're not going to have 12 different gospels. Walk around the city, you're not going to have 12 different interests. Walk around the city, you're not going to have 12 different things going on. It is going to be for the glory of God. It is going to be the gospel declared in its purity and simplicity. It is going to be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Peter confessed, and all of the other disciples would do exactly the same thing, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." John said to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." He had the opportunity of getting a pretty strong gathering, but he pointed his disciples to Christ. And that's what the disciples do. They point them to Christ. He is the foundation. And the message is the same in every age by everyone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to have multiple gospels and multiple interpretations. The Holy Spirit leads the church into all truth, not various truths. All right. In verse 17, it says, Revelation 21, it says, "He measured the wall thereof, and it was 144 cubits." Now, a cubit is from here to here, if we're going to use that. And 144 of them is not very big. What's the meaning? This 144 cubits. I noticed in here as I went through, there's 12 gates, 12 angels, 12 tribes, 12 apostles, and 12 foundations. This 144 cubits shares with us the perfect state of the church. It is absolutely in a perfect state. 144 is the square of 12, and 12 is used six times. It's just telling us, it's not the size, it's telling us the manner. It's not the largeness, it's telling us the perfection of the church, that it is absolutely, there is a perfect state of the church. Jude writes it this way, without spot, without blemish. The perfect state of the church. This dimension shares with us that. The gates share with us in any direction. The gospel is the same. Come by this gospel. Come by no other. Come by this narrow way. Come by no other. And every speaker speaks the same thing. But there's not just one in one direction for one group of people or for one genealogy. It is opened up, as Revelation shares with us, out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. God's going to call his people. Now, we may sit back years ago and say probably the most unlikely people God's ever going to call are those people down in New Guinea. They eat each other. And then to find out that God's been working there, and there's a whole bunch of people that love the same gospel, only in another language. But they would say this, salvation is of the Lord. Every confession of faith by every believer sums it up just like that. Whatever you want to call it, I was saved by his blood and by his righteousness. And nothing else will do. In verse 18, it tells us that this wall, the wall of it, the stone that was used to build it, is of jasper. Now, John Gill said this. This jasper speaks of the impregnableness, duration, brightness, and glory of salvation by Christ, jasper being very hard, durable, and bright. That word jasper, stone jasper, lends itself to what this wall is to the church. It is impregnable. It is durable. It is bright. There's a glory about it. Everything that stone carries with it, that gymnologists look for in it, are what is a blessing to God's people when they find out what God has for them in their wall. It is durable. It endures forever. Salvation is not short term. Salvation. I just love insurance policies. We'll insure you until you're 65. Life insurance. Well, that doesn't seem like a good program to me. Well, when you get to be 65, we're going to have to jack the rates up by 10. That doesn't sound too good either. You know, all the plans that people have, the benefits go down as the older you get. Well, with God's purpose of grace, the benefits stay the same from end to end. Everybody's going to get their penny. And I'm not talking about the smallest. Everybody gets treated the same by the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to his grace, his salvation, his glory. There is no minor members. There is no smaller members. Everyone. And it's by the grace of God that we get to do anything, get to serve him at all, get to love him at all. Everyone is going to hear in that day. If they know Christ, Christ knows them, they're going to hear this. Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. And humanly speaking, we say, oh, I'm a whole lot more faithful than that guy. And he's going to hear the same thing. Amen. If he's Christ, took the same blood, took the same righteousness, took the same grace, took everything the same, and he is going to say, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. And we don't know what God did in their heart. All right? Look here with me. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. As we think about this wall of jasper, speaks of the duration, their durability, the brightness, the impregnability of this wonderful structure that God has that is invisible and is spiritual, and it just stands. God protects his people. The darts may come, but they just bink, boink off of that great protective shield that God has established by his Son in the gospel that he has declared in himself. All right, here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. That's what this jasper is talking about. This salvation is to the uttermost, to the very end, and to the end of the end. It will not change. The plan doesn't change with age, doesn't give over. That's one reason that I have difficulty with Old and New Testament, because it's the same purpose of grace to those in the Old Testament. They're not saved by some other manner. This is durability. It is God's salvation from beginning to end. And everybody will confess Christ the same. There, as it says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. How can it be durable? He ever liveth to make intercession for them. It's on his basis that this is a long enduring purpose of grace, eternity to eternity. And back up a couple of chapters, chapter 5 and verse 9, here in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. He became the author of eternal salvation. This jasper, the material that this wall is made of, declares that this is an eternal wall. Declares that this is a durable wall, that nothing shall cause it to decay. The other day I was thinking about a project that Mike and I were on down in Duford. And after that project was over, he handed me a check, and it was a little more than I expected. And I said, what's this about? And he says, well, we worked under some real serious, possibly harmful conditions. We jacked up a house and took the foundation out of one side. And it wasn't until just the other day I realized how dangerous a place that was. We had a house standing over us with a foundation out from under it. And we could not find a place where that foundation would hold up anything. It was just, you drill it, it just crumble, go to pieces. They didn't use enough cement, and they used too big a rocks. And finally we had to just quit. Couldn't go any further. Nothing to build with. I'm so thankful that what most people say about God's salvation, that you can lose it, is not true. It will take the drill marks. It will take the test. It will take, you know what? It will even take the sin of his people after they've been saved. His salvation is all enduring. And though we sin, and knowing we will sin, he still has a structure that will endure to the end. It's durable. Long suffering. Fadeth not away. Continues to protect his people for time and eternity. Going back one more time to the book of Hebrews. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. We find out about this jasper wall. It's a wall of it was jasper. That's the material that it was made of. Now the foundations are 12 different stones. The wall is of jasper. It's the part that most people are going to notice. What is so important about your lover? Is what the daughters of Jerusalem ask. We'll go down through that list. He's tall, dark. His chest and arms and thighs and feet are just so grand. He will stand the test. He will save his people. And besides that, he's altogether lovely. And that's what the church says about Christ. And in that is the enduring salvation that God has for his people. All right, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord. That's pretty qualifying. Israel, spiritual Israel. Remember over there in Romans, not all Israel is of Israel. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. So we have a great, high, massive wall. The wall of this great city, this wall is surrounded by the Lord, salvation of the Lord, the gospel of the Lord. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it is declared here as to be with jasper, so enduring, so long enduring, so impregnable, so bright, so glorious is this great salvation. And then it tells us here that the foundations of the wall of the city, in verse 19 and 20, the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished. Garnished. They are, there's an ornament, there's a garnishment, there's an adornment. How would you put that today? What's the garnishment that we give? What do we say? What do we, well, I'm just going to have to read two verses in the New Testament. One is in the book of 1 Corinthians again, and one is in the book of Galatians. So let's stop by 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is the garnishment. This is the adornment. This is the ornament. This foundation is garnished with these 12 stones. And it's summed up this way. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Boy, if we're going to have an ornament, a garnishment, as we go out, an ornament to remind us, an ornament to just keep it in front of us, this is one of them. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And then Galatians 6:14. This is just kind of summing it up. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. This great wall, this high wall, this massive wall, this wall with 12 foundations, 12 preachers preaching exactly the same thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. And this wall of jasper, it's so massive, so durable, so bright, so impregnable. It's just a gem among gems. Here in the book of Galatians chapter 6, we read this. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Another ornament that we can just have. You want an ornament? Put Jonah's words. Salvations of the Lord. Well, another ornament. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Another one. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. For all the laws... chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What ornaments on this foundation. They all redound to the glory of God. And you'll never find a verse of scripture or a statement in any of these foundations that say, I am what I am by my own work. That's excluded. I am what I am by the grace of God. God will get the glory every time as we walk around this city. And we will find ourselves sinners saved by grace. Every time we walk around the city. Sinners saved by grace. It's His salvation, saving sinners by His blood and by His righteousness for eternity. That's this wall. All right, the wall of God, the salvation of God, the glory of God. This wall, it is a great and high and massive wall. And we've just talked about a one-inch piece of it. The rest of the Bible is spending its entire message. Christ is the issue.